Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking about a man who was born and raised here in Jessamine County and very, very influential in our school system. His name was Pete Royce. We'll be talking to his son, David, all about Pete's life and his contribution to the educational community here in Jessamine County. We'll do that right after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville. And they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here. Still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Well, good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday morning as we continue to learn more about people, places, and things in our county. And today we're going to talk about a gentleman who was born and raised here and was very instrumental in the education system in Jessamine County for a long time. His name was Herbert Royce, but everyone knew him as Pete. And we have with him today his son, David, who is an attorney. And David, good morning. Glad to have you.
Good morning, Doug. I appreciate you having me.
We are so looking forward to learning a little more about Pete and Sue, your mom, too, and you and your brother and the family and what the Royce name meant to the Jessamine County education system. I guess the best way to start is maybe give us some background on Pete, where he was born, who his parents were, his brothers, sisters, things like that.
Sure. Dad was born here in Nicholasville. It's my recollection that he was actually born at home in the house where my grandparents lived over on Richmond Avenue, although my mom says she's not sure that's right. She thinks he may have been born at the hospital. But in any event, his parents were Herbert Royce, my granddaddy Herbert, and Gertrude Royce, who we all knew as Gigi. And Gigi ran the flower shop here in Nicholasville for a lot of years and was a great character who I got to know well. So Dad was born to really good parents and unique folks who were well known in Nicholasville. And he was surrounded by a host of brothers and sisters who are also, every one of them, upstanding, fine people who I had the pleasure of knowing, some of them more briefly than others. Dad's brother, his only brother, was Gene.
Mm-hmm.
Gene was married to Dolores, who is still here in Nicholasville and still comes to our family reunions and every funeral, and is a fine woman. I remember Gene as I was growing up. Gene had been in the Army, and my dad looked up to him a great deal. And I remember, for some reason, I remember growing up, Gene was missing the end of a finger, the last portion of a finger, and he would do a trick where he would show me how he was taking his thumb off. We've all seen that trick, except Gene could really do it. And for some reason, that sticks with me. So, as you know, Gene's daughter, Connie, is still here. Dad had a whole bunch of sisters. He had Evelyn, was his sister. She was married to Stuart. When I was growing up, Evelyn and Stuart were mainly in Florida, and we would go visit them down at Okeechobee, and they would come up here from time to time. His sister, Frances McDowell, she was married to John. And she lived over on Brown Street. Then he had, as well, his sisters, Betty Jo, who's Betty Jo Pickett. She was married to Lloyd Pickett, who passed away here just in the last year or two. And they live over in Harrodsburg. His sister, Judy, who was married to Abner, and Abner Johnson. And then she's married to Paul. And they live in Greensburg, Indiana now, Paul Cooper and Judy. And then also his sister, Gladys, who we just lost here in the last year. Gladys Harlow was married to Joe Harlow, and their children are John and Jonelle. And as I say, we lost Gladys this past year, and she was a fine woman. So I got to know all those folks growing up naturally, and maybe I didn't realize it at the time as much, but now looking back, it was really a blessing to see so many unique personalities and people that were successful in all kinds of different ways in life and gave a lot to their communities and their family. And Dad was the youngest of them, so he had, I guess, seven good folks to look up to and learn from. And he certainly was very fond of all of his brothers and sisters and their kids and then nephews and nieces. And they were paramount in his life, just like our immediate family was. There was never any doubt that my mother and my brother and I were the most important thing to him, no matter how involved in other matters he might be.
Let me ask you a couple of questions about some things you said there. First off, you mentioned your grandmother was in a florist business. Do you know which one it was?
Yeah, I seem to recall that she had the Nicholasville florist, or ran the Nicholasville florist. Again, that was before my time. Gigi died. I hesitate to say the year because I can't remember off the top of my head. She was 97 years old when she died, which probably made her about 67 when I was born, if not older than that. And she had worked in a number of different ways in Nicholasville, but for a while worked in the flower shop and saw a lot of people in town as a result of that. Mm-hmm. Granddaddy Herbert, as I recall, was a salesman in different aspects, and a lot of times was doing traveling sales. Mm-hmm. So he was on the road, and that was obviously a much more prominent position at that time. Traveling salesmen were the way a lot of retail sales were done. So Granddaddy Herbert would travel. They lived in Cincinnati for a short while and still had some connections there in Cincinnati. I can't remember exactly at what point, but when Dad was young, they lived in Cincinnati for a while. His brothers and sisters had lived there a little longer, and then they came back to Nicholasville.
You know, it seems like I remember, we'll talk about your dad now. Of course, he was the youngest child, and he grew up here in the school system in Jessamine County. And what I hear, he was pretty much an athlete, wasn't he?
He was a better athlete than his sons, I can tell you that. And I'll even go further and say better athlete than his grandson. Dad was. He was a good athlete, very active in all sports. He was All-State, honorable mention in basketball. He was a shooting guard or point guard, and he shot a two-handed set shot, which is you don't see very often anymore, but was a little more typical at that time. He played for Nicholasville High School, the Tarantulas, mm-hmm. and at that time, Nicholasville was first through 12 grades. It was interesting, as I got to be more of a young man and would be with Dad out and about, he would meet and would remember guys that he played in high school against. The Athens school was mm-hmm. good. That was Scotty Basler and Tommy mm-hmm. Mahanes and that crowd. He would see these guys that he had played against in high school, and they would rekindle friendships, and mm-hmm. he'd go to lunch with them and things like that. So he played basketball, was a good basketball player, also played football and baseball. He played football for Elmer Stevenson, who I know you know, Doug, and most people here in the community know. Elmer was a mentor to my father, and from the time that he grew up playing sports for Elmer, but all the way through his adult life until Elmer passed away.
Well, you lived next door to him.
We did. Yeah. When we moved from Cedar Lane mm-hmm. over to Club Lane, we moved next door to Elmer and Doris.
Right.
And I was still a fairly young boy at the time, so I enjoyed living next to Elmer. He was a character and loved us and was very good to us. At that point, Elmer was running the pro shop at Lone Oak Country Club, mm-hmm. and we would go up there and see him. It was rare that a day would pass where I wouldn't see Elmer Stevenson, but I could see how much my dad admired and respected him. And I kind of, as I got older, I came to learn why, and he was very fond. I just talked to Doris Stevenson, I guess, 2 weeks ago. When I was in your office, and she was talking about Dad and Elmer and how much they thought of one another.
When we did a show on Elmer with Doris,
yes,
and the very end of it, she had me read a poem that your dad had wrote, I think, and he read at Elmer's funeral, maybe.
She has told me about that.
Yeah, yes. A nice poem, and very, very well written.
I remember Elmer, again, funny the things you remember. I remember a lot about Elmer that involved Dad. Two things. One was, I remember Elmer giving me a little turtle that he had found in the creek one day. He came over and gave it to me, and I was probably 8 or 9 years old and thought it was the greatest thing in the world. My parents probably didn't agree so much, but I put that thing in a little fish bowl, and it got bigger and bigger, and mm-hmm. needless to say, within a few weeks, it was being put back into the creek next to the house. But the other thing I remember is Dad was a golfer, and like those of us who golf, he went through periods where he played a lot of golf and didn't play much, but I was probably just 7 or 8 years old, and we were up at Lone Oak, and sitting outside the pro shop, and Dad had a rented cart, and he had gone in and was talking to Elmer. And again, I was 7 or 8 years old. I was not familiar with the operation of a golf cart, and he had the emergency brake, I'm sure. Well, I stepped down and I hit that gas. They were all gas carts, and I ran through. There was a little fence. It was kind of a decorative fence, but mm-hmm. I ran through a fence right there and tore it all to pieces. And of course, my eyes were as big as saucers, and out came Dad and and Elmer, and at first I was scared to death, and then I was scared to death of them, and once they finally stopped laughing about it, we got down to business, and needless to say, they gave me a little reprimand, but they also knew it wasn't anything I intended right. to do, and that was the way both of those men were, and frankly, that's the way my dad was in raising us.
Yeah,
we knew right from wrong. He certainly taught us, he and my mother, but I would be hard-pressed to tell you a time that I ever remember my dad being overly harsh with me. I remember him threatening to whip me with a belt one time, but I don't know that he actually did. That was about as serious as it got. He loved us, and he wanted us to do right and to be good people. But he also was very compassionate toward us, and right. I couldn't ask for a more loving father and mother.
Your parents were a lot like mine. My dad was the same way. I think I remember one time Mom usually did most of the discipline in our house, and I can never think of a whooping. Back when you could do that.
Yeah, right.
I never could think of one that I didn't deserve.
Oh, for sure.
You know, every one I got, I deserved, and it didn't hurt me one bit. So, Pete, let's travel on with his life. He plays high school. Once he graduates from high school, tell us about his college life.
Dad went to UK in Lexington. I remember him telling me, and Dad wasn't one to brag, so I think he was probably just telling me this as a matter of fact, that Granddaddy Herbert was very proud of him and was proud of him going to college, and gave him $100 and said, you know, we want you to do well. This is the best we can do for you. We hope mm-hmm. it helps, but you're kind of on your own.
Mm-hmm.
He was appreciative of it, but Dad hitchhiked back and forth, which was not uncommon at all at that
sure.
time, to
right.
Lexington
right.
and went to classes. He worked at the Bluegrass RECC at the same time and was out, you know, setting poles and stuff.
Now, that's where Gene worked, too, right?
That's right.
His brother.
And Harvey as well, Gene's son. And
right, Harvey Crowe.
Harvey sure. Crowe, mm-hmm. And has had a long career there.
Mm-hmm.
So Dad did that, went through UK while working, and then when he got out after he got his bachelor's degree, he started as a science teacher in Nicholasville. I guess at that time it was probably Jessamine County. Started as a science teacher and did that for a couple of years and coached basketball, at one point coached football. And then within a few years, he went into administration and spent 43 years working for the school system. Right up until, I guess, a couple months before he died in 2009.
Did he go to college knowing he wanted to be in education?
You know, I think he did. I think his studies, Doug, were accounting and finance, mm-hmm. but then he also evolved into taking education courses. It doesn't surprise me. Dad was the type that liked working with young people.
Mm-hmm.
His coaching, he was very involved with Little League here mm-hmm. in Nicholasville, football and baseball, and the idea of working with young people and being a teacher was a natural fit for him, and a little that he got out of direct instruction and got into the more business side of the school system. But frankly, I think that his focus on students and young people probably served him well as he went on into doing those important things on the finance and construction side.
When he got into administration, would that have been under Buddy Adams?
I believe that it was actually, I know he worked with Buddy for years and years,
right.
and Buddy is the earliest superintendent I remember him working for.
Yeah.
I can't remember if that was the first. But Buddy was certainly one of my dad's mentors, and I remember fondly Buddy and Mary Helen were always a part of my life growing
mm-hmm.
up. They were always around. I can still smell Buddy Adams' pipe smoke.
Oh,
the way it would smell.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing them at the golf course and Buddy's laugh and driving by their house down here and thought the world of them. And Dad was very fond of them. And as I recall, he probably worked a decade or two with mm-hmm. Mr. Adams, who mm-hmm. was what he was known to me at the time.
Mm-hmm. Before we go on with his professional career, let's talk a little bit about the personal side. Now, at some point in time, he met this lady named Sue.
Yeah.
Where did that occur? About when did that happen?
I'll get the story wrong. I'm sure my mother will remind me. But my mother lived out in the country. It's still the country, but lived out on Taylor Ridge. And Dad lived here on Richmond Avenue. Mom was about 6 years younger than Dad. And I want to say that they met through her friend Carol Hayes, now Bob Hayes' wife, and Bob and Carol have moved back here now after being in North Carolina for years.
She was a Burdine.
That's right.
Yeah.
Johnny Burdine.
Maureen.
Exactly. So that was their daughter. She and my mother were good friends. And as I recall, Mom was just starting nursing school, and she and Dad started dating. And they were married, I'll get it wrong now. Gosh, I want to say 45 years. We were certainly counting them on them all to make it to 50, but their 45th anniversary, I believe, was the year Dad died. My mother will tell you that she was just a little country girl who wasn't really exposed to much, and Dad was this city guy who knew everybody in town, and it was funny. Their relationship was a good one, and I certainly learned a lot watching them. I was blessed to be in a home like that with two parents. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, over the years, they certainly had issues just like anybody does and had to fight through things over the years and changes that happened. But, man, there was never any doubt about their commitment to one another, their love for one another, and certainly in the years after Mark and I moved away and it was just the two of them and their dogs, it was really always a joy to see them together because they truly cared for each other and loved each other. And Mom had some health issues and Dad was good to her. And then Dad certainly had health issues for the last several years. And my mother was a saint in taking care of him. But that was all a product of a very genuine love for each other. Yeah. And there wasn't anything forced about it. They were certainly a couple that was meant to be.
Were they married after college?
They were. Dad would have gotten married. Well, Mom would have still been in nursing school when they got married. Dad would have been out of college and would have just been working in the school system.
And then at some point in time, they decided it's time to have a family.
That's right.
Tell us about you and your brother and what you guys been doing.
Sure. Mom and Dad had actually tried. They certainly wanted to have kids and had been trying without much success and had just started looking into adoption, which was a little different concept in 1970. And what do you know, turns up Mom's pregnant. And August 11th, 1970, my brother Mark is born. Mm-hmm. Mark was 3 years older than me. I was born in 1973. And we grew up on Cedar Lane over at the end of the little cul-de-sac on Cedar Lane, and where Johnny Burdine and Mrs. Burdine lived down the street. And we grew up there, and then about the time I was 7 years old, we moved over to Club Lane. I went on to, both my brother and I went to Jessamine County High School. At that time, there was just one. It's what's now West.
Right.
And we both graduated from there. My brother went to Belmont in Nashville, graduated from there, and then came back. I went to Birmingham Southern, a small school in Alabama, and then I came back here for law school. And I've practiced in Lexington since then. Mark works in Lexington and lives in Lexington now. He works for an advertising company. And we talk to my mother. Mark's better than I am. Mark talks to her every day. I talk to her every couple of days. My travel sometimes interferes in my schedule. But we try to get together for lunch with her just about every week. And we certainly get together on Dad's birthday anniversaries and things like that.
Before I forget, what law firm are you with now?
I spent 18 years working for Stahl Keenan and Park and then Stahl Keenan Ogden in Lexington. And this February, I went out and joined two other lawyers in a very small law firm. There's just three of us. Ransdell Roach and Royce is the name of the firm. And I left Stahl Keenan on very good terms. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have had a better experience there. That was a 160 lawyer law firm, and the only thing I had ever known. And I was 42 and had been doing this for almost 20 years, and decided I wanted to try a small office. So I've thoroughly enjoyed it. My partners are very good men, and they're very good lawyers, and I'm enjoying a little different environment. I miss the people at my old firm, but I'm enjoying being a little closer to home and spending more time at home.
And you've got a son?
I do. My son is Ben. Ben is 12 years old, and he's at football practice this morning. He's moaning and whining a little bit about being sore and hurt. And I think he may get that from his dad. My wife is Carolyn, and Carolyn is from Michigan. She moved here, gosh, I guess 18 years ago, and she had two daughters, Mallory and Paige, who were 6 and 8 when we got married. Paige is now in Michigan working. She's 22, and Mallory is now a first grade school teacher at Tate's Creek in Lexington. And it's amazing for me. It seems like about, you know, 3 years ago that they came into my life.
Yeah,
and,
right. They grow up quick.
Now they're big girls. So Ben is 12, and he's still at home with Carolyn and me. He's 12 going on 22.
I have a girl that's 12 going on 30, so I understand that. Yeah. Pete worked for a lot of different superintendents. If you're talking about Buddy, and you can go on down the line, we can mention, I'll forget some, but you can mention Don Martin, you mentioned Linda France, mentioned Lou Young, and Kathy. Did he died, I guess, before Kathy became superintendent. But I know you talked about accounting and finance. He was kind of a guru with the Jessamine County School System when it came to numbers.
He was, and it was really even beyond that, Doug. It was throughout the state, and I have to admit, I didn't understand it as much as I was growing up, what he was doing and why it was so important. As I got a little older and I was around people that had worked with Dad, both in the school system and elsewhere, I started to realize kind of what it was that he did and why it was so important. Dad was certainly budget, administration were his areas. In his later years, he really became an expert in construction and construction finance of school facilities, which as Jessamine County has grown, it became a major issue, was the ability to build satisfactory school facilities and also to fund them within the limits. Dad was very conservative financially. He thought the school system should be conservative financially. But he also felt like there were very few things that are in the public sector that are more important than education, and that if the public needed to make an investment to provide for the young people in Jessamine County, that needed to be done. So there were times when he advocated that we needed to generate more revenue for the school system. But Dad got to be known around the state for that expertise, and he got called into several other school systems, some in Eastern Kentucky, that had either had financial problems or corruption, and he would come in and try and kind of help them get their books straightened out. He went to Frankfort for 2 years and worked as the deputy superintendent for Kentucky schools and dealt with a lot of those school systems around the state. He actually left there after his stint in Frankfort. He went to Fayette County and worked for a couple of years in the Fayette County school system and then ultimately came back to Jessamine County. Jessamine County had a need for an interim superintendent. They were kind of in a bind. Dad was very familiar with the school system, obviously, and he was never one to look for titles or accolades. That this was not his thing, but there was a real need.
Yeah.
And he was asked to serve as interim superintendent, and he did that for a few years, as I recall, and then finally made the transition. And Linda France and Lou Young were among his favorites, and they obviously were very esteemed at the time, but have gone on since that time to do a number of things in their lives, and he was very proud of both of those ladies.
In his 43 years, what do you think the most enjoyable part of his job was to Pete?
You know, Dad took satisfaction in getting it right. There's no doubt about that. He wanted the books to balance. He wanted Jessamine County to grow and its school system and do so responsibly. So I think those things were important. But Dad didn't care what people thought about him in the sense of ego or prestige. He absolutely did care about treating people right, treating them fair, nicely, politely, and being honest. And I can tell you that Dad genuinely enjoyed working with the people he worked with, seeing people. I remember we would go on trips, Doug, when we would go on just family vacations. Dad would always, you know, we'd pick up something for Gigi or something for this person to bring back from a trip, and he would always bring back stuff for the ladies that worked for him in the office. And I remember even at a young age just thinking, you know, that's considerate and thoughtful. But he genuinely just liked people, and he liked being around those people that he worked with. And he certainly enjoyed the construction and seeing those facilities come to reality. He liked it, but it seemed like every time one got built, he was already moving on to work on the next one.
Well, and of course, his impact on the school system was great. And employees and people that were involved in administration certainly noticed that because, as the best as I can remember, I think it was the only time that it's ever been done. Some of the rules were amended after he died to name the building after him, which houses the Board of Education now. And that was something, I think they had some kind of a rule that you had to be, see, so, and they actually said, we're not going to go by that.
Well, yeah, what happened, I think in about 1992, the board had adopted a rule. As you know, Doug, sometimes naming schools can get to be a pretty political process.
It can
be a little controversial.
Yes.
And back in the early 90s, as I recall, the board had passed a rule that, look, we're not going to name buildings in the school system after people anymore. And mm-hmm. that just kind of takes that out of it. Mm-hmm. It was a good bright line rule. Well, Dad, in 2009, he had had cancer for about 6 years and had dealt with it, was playing golf and still working. And then around the winter, Christmas of 08, going into 09, things kind of turned worse. And in that spring, he was facing some real challenges, and folks knew that. He finally had to stop doing any work for the school system that spring. And the board, I remember Carl Smith coming to the house and talking to Mom and Mark and me about, and Lou, talking to us about whether this was something that we thought was a good idea. And we said, we, you know, not anything Dad would ever ask for, but we certainly thought it would be an honor. And the school board kind of had to rush around. Howard Downing helped them, and they actually had two special meetings so that they could do a first reading and a second reading. And they changed that rule, and the rule basically remained the same, that we're not going to name schools or school facilities after individuals unless they have had a lifelong meritorious commitment to the schools and made a long lasting impact. And they basically drafted in a way where it would only fit one person, and that
right.
was Dad. And,
right.
and they did that. And Doug, we were so lucky. Dad was declining pretty fast there in the last few weeks of his life. And they did that at a time about a month before he died, 3 weeks, and he was still able to go to the board meeting Good. Where they made that decision. Mark and Mom and I were there, several of the people he'd worked with over the years. Mm-hmm. And it was obviously very touching to him.
Sure.
And I was pleased that he got to see that and be aware of it. And it was good for him, and I'm glad he got a little recognition. He never really looked for it, but I'll tell you, selfishly, it's very nice for me to be able to drive my son by the central office and show him the name.
Sure.
And he remembers his grandfather. My son was 6 when Dad died, but he remembers him well. And memories like that of his value to the community and how he's viewed by the community are more than I could ever tell Ben about my dad.
Exactly. I'll ask you maybe the hardest question you'll be asked all day. Professionally, as far as his career is concerned, a word to describe Pete Royce, just a word.
Honest.
Yeah, good.
That's probably the first one. There's a number of others, but I think most people that worked with Dad would tell you, if Dad told you something, take it to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, he was sometimes cautious about what he would say. He would make sure that he knew what he was saying was right. I tell you, Doug, your father was very prominent and as good a man as they get. I've known him from the time I could walk, and your family. I wonder if you don't have the same sentiment I do a little bit, and it was a blessing that we had parents like we did.
Oh, gosh,
and
yes.
To have a dad like mine is a one in a million. But I tell you, it'll also create a little complex for you, because when everybody in the county knows
right.
your dad and knows what a great guy he was,
you're right.
You find yourself trying to hold yourself to those standards and realize it can be pretty hard.
Well, in saying that, I'll switch gears and ask the same question. And one word to describe him, but describe him now as a dad.
One word is a dad. Well, he certainly was loving, and I guess that's the one word if I had to choose. He was totally unconditionally interested and committed to me and my brother.
Yeah.
My brother and I love one another dearly and have our whole lives. We're different in a lot of ways, and my dad and mother loved us both equally mm-hmm. and totally unconditionally. And again, Doug, as you know, growing up in a home like that with a lot of people don't have that experience, knowing that even if you screw up, these folks are your biggest cheerleaders.
Right.
It makes a big difference in life. And my brother and I were both blessed by that.
You know, about a little over a year ago, I, for the first time in all of my career in radio, interviewed my mother about my dad.
Yeah.
And at the end of the program, I made a comment, and I think you and I are on the same page on this. I, like you, realize that our fathers were very well known. They were very talented in the work they did. Even though it was different work, they still were both talented and knew what they were doing. They were very concise and professional about it. You were around it all your life. I was around it all my life. We recognize that God gave them talents. But when you get right down to it, they're just dad.
Right.
And I told in that interview that I can look at all the artwork. I can see pictures dad drew all over this town. That's not what I miss. You can look at right now. You can go down Wilmore Road and see all these schools that your father had a part in helping to build and construct and everything that happens in the school system. And when you remember Pete Royce as David, that's not what you remember. The fact is that you miss dad.
Yep.
That's what he was. And that was his first job. Second, maybe, to being a husband.
Yeah.
And he did it well. And of course, Jessamine County is blessed to have had Pete Royce involved in the school system. And where we are today, you know, you can name a lot of people. In fact, you mentioned Buddy Adams. We had his wife on the air a couple weeks ago. And you can look at people like Buddy Adams and even go back before that. Go back to C.R. Hager and Hattie Warner and some of those older names up through some of these current superintendents and the foundation they laid. And Pete, certainly through 43 years ago, has made a great contribution to where our school system is today. And you should be proud of that. And I know you are.
Yes, sir. It is nice. And being able to go around and still have people say to me or my son, "Are you a Royce? Your dad Pete Royce, your grandfather Pete Royce?" And
yeah,
it wasn't so great when I was 17 years old trying to get away with stuff, but it is nice.
Yeah.
And that's the real legacy he left.
That's right.
And the one that I enjoy the most.
Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much, Doug. It's great to talk to you, as always.
My thanks to David Royce for coming in and talking about his dad, Pete, and the contribution that he made to our community. And we appreciate you coming in every Saturday morning at 11. It's called All Things Jessamine. We'll do it again next week right here on Jess FM 105.9.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.